Rise up, O men of God. And that means the women, too, out there, folks. This is J. Cole, Call to Action Live. And we're back again to bring you a message that I hope will be a blessing to one and every heart. We have such a majestic and wonderful God to serve. How in the world can you do anything but give Him your absolute best? I'm so very happy that today we have the sweet and wonderful privilege of proclaiming the gospel of our Savior, Jesus. Have you just stopped to think how much do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really believe He's who He said He is? I don't like to use the expression was, because He is still today what He has always been. And that is, He's the Lord. He's the maker of all things. He is God who came to this earth in the form of a man. And today, He lives. Those of us who know Him as Savior know that He's alive. We have experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful, wonderful experience it is to have Him in our hearts as the Master, the great and wonderful Master of our lives. Well, I hope that you are with us today, perhaps not for the first time, but fortunately the KMTL folks are hearing the broadcast live, and over the week the other stations are recorded. Unfortunately, we have been unable to get everybody else on the computer, but we're gradually getting there, I think. But if you'll just bear with us, we'll eventually have everything up on the computer and ready to go. Let me give you this little word right now before I forget it. Simply this: we have a wonderful, wonderful situation in that we are able to utilize this thing called a computer. And so, we're trying our level best to use it. We have a situation where our programs are all on computer. And if you want to hear one of the older programs, just go to www.saveournation.net. www.saveournation.net. And you can go down the line there and pick out the program you want. When that comes up, you can on your computer, you can go to the lower line in the heading, right under where it says Save Our Nation, and you can click on the word here, H-E-A-R. It's in red, large letters, and that'll bring up the archived messages for about 2 weeks. If you'll go there and click on that, and whatever you have to do with your computer, click on that and bring it up, and you'll find that that will give you the list of recordings. I'm still playing with the computer here, trying to get it to work, and I'm not having much luck at it. But so I hope we're coming through all right in your area. For the KOFC listeners now, we're just going back on the air here today at KOFC if everything works well. And KOFC is here in Northwest Arkansas in Fayetteville, Springdale area. And the program that's being heard right now in KMTL probably heard tomorrow here locally. We're also on KWT out in Spokane, or KTW, I'm sorry, out in Spokane, Washington. We're on WVOG down in New Orleans, and that is 600 on the dial, and we're on two or three other stations. I don't have the list right in front of me here, but we're back on all of the stations that we were on before, except the Flint, Michigan station. And they were supposed to call me back today, but they didn't. And so we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. If you will Just bear with us, though, as we try to get everything working here. We should have everything online at least before the program is over. But in the meantime, let me play another beautiful song for you. This song is taken from an album by the Mennonite Hour. The Mennonite folks have a group called 30 Men Singing. 30 Men Singing. And I'm so very happy to be able to have these folks on the air. Unfortunately, they're not locally here. And also, unfortunately, I'm having trouble finding all of the controls here to run everything with. So you can just bear with me while I look for that. But in the meantime, we're going to talk to you about the one important thing in my life, and that is none other but the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sins and for mine. Now, if you don't believe that, you're really wasting your time listening to me today. But if you do believe it, then rest assured that the information I'll be giving you today are those things that will help you along life's way. Aha, here's the control right here, buried among other things. And those things that you will be hearing should help you to overcome some of the obstacles in life that have been overcome for me. And I'll try to tell you a little bit how to do that. But in the meantime, would you please listen to this wonderful, wonderful song, 30 Men Singing.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home.
Swing low, sweet chariot,
Comes from no other resource, and I hope that perhaps this program today will convince someone somewhere of the fact that Jesus Christ provided the only means of salvation. Have you ever just stopped to think about what happens the day that you draw your last breath? There are a lot of people frightened silly about that. They absolutely are frightened out of their skin, to use an old Arkansas statement or whatever you want to call it. And I can understand how that would happen to an individual who had no assurance of a future, what it might happen. I can just see people, and I see people almost every day who are saying, well, Jay, what happens if I wonder if when I draw my last breath, what's beyond that? Is all of this business about a burning hell, is that for real? Or will this old body just come to an end and be like all of these old skeletons that are out here in the graves, the flesh just rot off the bones? You remember old Herod the Great? He was being praised like crazy, and the folks who were praising him so much were saying what a great man he was. And finally, some of them started saying, "This is a god." Well, you know what happened? Old Herod, I understand, had a stroke or a heart attack. At that point, he fell down, history tells us, and he died. And the scripture says, and worms ate him. Well, I assume that's what happens when one gets in the grave. And God has so arranged a certain type of specimen that does away with flesh that is dead. Well, that's what happens to these old bodies. I don't care how much money some of you gals out there spend, let's use the term, oodles. Do you ever hear the term? Of funds trying to get the old body all fixed up and looking good. And my land, you girls, before that first date, you go and get your hair all fixed and all this. Spend all this money. For what? Well, I don't say you should back off from looking your best. But I do say that you shouldn't be so vain that you spend all of this money on nothing. And as a result, you end up having it buried in a box. It may be a pretty box, you know, at the funeral hall and at the church or wherever the funeral is. You want some people to stand up and say some nice words over you. And then you want to be just really have a good funeral director, and he fixes that old dead body up to look just as pretty as it possibly can. I've heard the expression so often in funeral homes. Someone looks and they say, "Oh, but he looks so natural," or "she looks so natural." Well, natural what? Now, my mother was 82 years old, and she had been in a sick bed with a stroke for about 9 months, and she didn't look like Mom at all. They had her cheeks all fixed up and puffed out, and she looked like Mrs. Somebody from straight from the Pentagon, or a big businesswoman of some kind. Didn't look like my humble old mom at all. Well, that's though what most people want. They want that old dead body to look just as good as it possibly can, and they'll spend all kinds of money. Let me tell you one worse than that. They'll spend all kinds of money on it. You've heard of animal cemeteries, and they'll spend all kinds, thousands of dollars, getting their cat or their dog that has died all fixed up and prepped up to where they look good, and then buy a multi-$1,000 or at least a multi-$100 casket for them, and then buy a burial plot with a tombstone. Have you heard of such ridiculous things before? Happens every day, folks. And there are a lot of people making great big bucks off of that kind of nonsense. Well, is that what you want? That seems to be the vanity to which the Caesars and others were leaning on the day when God took them out of existence. But all that looked good. It's very rare that they even find one of the bones today. They're gone, and guess where that old soul that does live on is? It's burning in a godless hell. If you don't believe in hell, I'm sorry. That's your doings. That's your business. But if you do believe in what God's Word says, then that's another story. And I can assure you that God's Word is the only book. It's the only piece of literature that is absolutely proven to be correct, right down to the, as we say, the gnat's eyelash, right down to the last. And so, the things I'm going to give you today may cause a heart attack. It may cause you having to have somebody buy that box for you. But we have some very serious situations going on in the world today. And the reason I have labeled this program such, Call to Action Live, is that I'm hoping some way, somehow, to call the people of this old world to action, to rise up, and to do something about what is happening in a world that's sick in sin. Well, perhaps it will have some effect on you, but there are so many people in this world today who really are not bothered by what God's Word says. And that's a sickening thing, is it not? All right. We've been looking in Isaiah the last few days. Before we get there, let me give you a couple of pieces of information. We have a lot of good material here, excellent material. Have some tracks. I think probably a new batch of them was printed today. I hope so. Printer's been sick. But there's one that we've sent to a lot of you called Are You Ready? It has a big fish hook. On the face of it, and then another arrow going up from the ground, which is you. Though the fish hook is Jesus our Lord, coming down from heaven and snatching up his people, the ones who know him as Savior, the ones who have experienced his Holy Spirit working in their lives. And then the arrow pointing up are those who are born again believer, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Dear friend, unless you're one of God's elect, you're not going anywhere except to a burning hell. And so let me tell you something. If you do not feel the wooing of God's Holy Spirit, then it's a pathetic thing. But right here today, God is giving you opportunity to listen to his voice, to go to the Roman road, which are certain scriptures we'll be glad to give you if you'll just get in touch with us. By the way, that telephone, got your pencil handy there? Okay, as our brother Johnny Tittle says, Raise up your hands there. Okay, I don't. This is radio, and I don't see any of you. But if you've got your pencil ready and your piece of paper, the telephone number is 479. 479 is our area code for this part of Arkansas. 479 and the number 443-2135. It's 443-2135. Go there and call us and let us know that you're a listener and that Christ Jesus is your Savior. Or if you want to know more about Him so that you may accept Him as your Savior, let us know that. We'll be glad to send us an address and preferably a phone number. And if you have an email, put that in there also. And some way get that to us. If you want to email it to us, our email address, and here it is, it's my birthday, JULY 1229 at Cox, that's COX.net. JULY 1229 at Cox. You got that? At Cox.net. Very simple, very easy. Now, just get in touch and tell me what you want, and I'll be glad to get that to you. If there's any of you pranksters out there who love to call in the middle of the night, well, quite often we'll get a threatening call or some kind of a prank call at 2 o'clock in the morning. In the background, you can hear all the brawling and all of the nonsense that goes on here at our university and other places in the world. And I simply put those on a recorder, and that gives you a message that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you'll go to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, and also on back to the 13th chapter, you'll find a description of this Lamb's Book of Life, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Go there, and you will find the methods, the things that will happen to those whose names are in the book and those whose names are not in the book. And then, if you'll go to what we call the Roman Road, that's Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23 is part of it. And then let me just read for you right quick over in 1 John. And while I'm turning to that, let me just suggest to you that if you do not have a good, easy reading Bible, if you're like one of those people that wants to, you think that Paul carried the old King James around in his pocket, would you forget that? Because he didn't. The King James didn't come along till 1611, and this then was commissioned by a man who did not even know Christ Jesus. Go there and to your Christian bookstore, or get in touch with me, and I'll be glad to fix you up with some way, somehow, with a new King James, which carries the old text, but at the same time, it does away with the Elizabethan these and thous, and it uses the personal pronouns that we use in today's language. If you look in the last part of chapter 6, of Romans. Let's start with verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? Have you ever had that happen in your life? Do you have a turnaround in which you were then suddenly ashamed of everything that had happened? Ashamed of the fact that you had not submitted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ before now. You're ashamed of the fact that you are so completely engrossed with the elements of this world and have have delayed coming to our Lord. Well, that's a travesty, isn't it? To even think that somebody did that. But let me read this to you. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now that has to do with spiritual death. Spiritual death for the born-again believer is absolutely nothing. That is physical death. Physical death simply means that that born-again believer has just made that advanced step to move on in to God's kingdom, to live forevermore with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. The ones who are spiritually dead are subject to the torment of hell throughout all eternity. Well, for the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, what a wonderful thing that is. You have your fruit to holiness and the end of everlasting life. That's what the Lord is trying to tell you through his servant Paul, who is writing here to those people down in Rome. You see, when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, there and at other places under people who had been influenced by the Jews of that day, the religious Jews, I don't say Christian. Christianity and religion, by the way, folks, are two entirely different things. Don't ever confuse the two. But they were chained between two Roman guards day and night. Remember, these guards changed shifts every once in a while. But those who were under the torment of the Caesar diet of punishment were on duty 24 hours a day. And when one group got tired, they'd say, okay, fellas, we're going home for the night. Get a good night's rest. The new crew's coming on. That's exactly what was happening. But what happens then? That's when the Holy Spirit takes over. You don't want this nonsense that is taking place in this life to dominate you in any way, whatever. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Scripture goes on to say in verse 23, and for the wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, what a wonderful place to be in that precious day in which Jesus takes us home. Well, let's go on back over to Romans 3:23. Remember, the wages of sin is death. Continual, habitual, repeated sin indicates the position that a person has in life. And I had a fellow out here just a few days ago. He is a former missionary, still claims to be a missionary. But he said, "Brother, I'm still tormented with this idea about women. I mean, the way women are permitted to dress in this day and time, it's a torment to me. And I don't know what to do about it." Well, I gave him what I thought was some good advice, but what he ever did with it, I don't know. I hope that you will not be one of those slip disc kind of people, that you'll lay aside what God has to say to you and not conform to what he has to do for you. Well, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then in verse 24, he goes on to say, being justified freely by his grace. And notice in your Bible the word his. Anytime you find a personal pronoun that way that refers to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit, to God, or any of that sort of individual, that the fence around the Word of God is not such a charged up thing that you can't get in. The fence around God's word is not something that it holds you inside. Except once you experience it, then I think you will agree with me that it is a fence around the word of God, the word of life. The word of life. I thank God for all the good helpers that we have in this life. The good helpers to lead us on the way. And New King James that I'm reading from has notes by Dr. John MacArthur. And if you want something good to help you, go to your bookstore, or if you would like to order these wholesale from me, just let me. I cannot take a credit card, so the cost I can have these drop shipped direct for a nice genuine leather bound in either brown or black New King James with the MacArthur notes. There's about $48, $47 or $48 with the shipping. Now, you'll pay about $75 if you go to the average bookstore. So if you would like to have one of those, let me know, or go to your bookstore and tell them that where you can get them for this other price, or you can get it in a paperback or in a hardback for less money than that. I don't know just how much. And my daughter just brought me one from, I believe it's Mardell's bookstore in Oklahoma City. It's a great big print, big New King James with the MacArthur notes, and a lot of other helpful things from which you can almost get a Bible education. And I think the total cost of it was around $50 for the whole thing. All right, listen. Looking back to Isaiah, we have been checking through what God's judgment does. We've been checking through step by step by step what happened in times past and how God's word through his prophetic word is being fulfilled minute by minute, day by day, hour by hour. We find things are happening, folks. God's people are under the onslaught of a godless agency called Islam. If you don't believe that, if you think this lie that the Islamics are trying to pour down your throat is truth, you better check it out. I highly advise folks to get a copy, at least a paperback copy, of the Quran. Now, people talk about the Bible having so many different translations. Well, to an extent, that is true. But they all of the genuine ones say basically the same thing. Now, let me tell you this. In the Quran, there are about 15 different translations. I hope this has some meaning for you, because I can assure you there is an absolute assurance given you in God's word that you can have eternal life. Well, going through these Old Testament passages, if you'll start, well, preferably from the first of Isaiah and from Jeremiah, you'll find step by step these prophecies that have now come to pass. You'll find the times that Israel was coming under judgment and being dispersed into other nations. You'll find the times which they were recalled to their nation. There would be three dispersions and three recallings. Do you know what has happened? Two of those have occurred. The third, I thought, was about to happen a few days ago, as you well remember. Those situations when Lebanon started firing missiles, and by the way, those were probably Russian missiles. Let me just mention again, I want to send a 7-hour videotape to you free of charge, strictly by free will offering, to help us with the postage, if you don't mind. I will send it at no cost to you, if that's the case. But it's a VHS, a 7-hour video of the last trip we took to Jordan, Israel, and Egypt. And it demonstrates in one place in Jordan, where we sat on a ship for hours waiting to sail down the Gulf of Aqaba to the Sinai Peninsula, watching these ships with big Russian print on the side of them come in. I studied Russian for a year, my last year in college, so I could read some of them. And so I went to the captain of the ship. I said, "What's that all about?" And he said, well, look on the hillside right up there. You see all those military vehicles parked up there? There was a side of a mountain that looked like it had been flattened out. And there was in this place thousands of pieces of military equipment, trucks, guns, all kind of armament. I said, what's that all about? And he says, those are being shipped in from Russia, and they're going to drive them, guess where? To Iraq. Well, that's the stuff that we have been fighting now for quite some time. Those are the things that Russia has sent that is killing our fellows and our girls. Those people who are running around the country talking about conspiracies better just watch out, because their day is coming. There may well be a conspiracy, I don't know, but there's one thing I can say for absolute certain: the people today who are experiencing the weaponry, receiving their weaponry that they want to use to drive Israel into the Mediterranean Sea, are receiving much of their equipment from Russia, which is routed some of it around through the country of Iraq and mainly Syria. If you remember, just a few years ago when Lebanon was invaded by Israel, Israel just got fed up with what was going on. This was 1988. I was there just a short time after that, and in 1988. And on the road going up to Jericho from down at the Dead Sea, down where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, there was one big truck after another hauling, military, Israeli military truck, hauling these huge tanks and other armament out of Lebanon and hauling them into Israel. Well, as it turned out, if Russia would like to give this equipment to Israel, I guess that's all right with them, but that's exactly what was happening. And Israel had gone up there to repossess, to take in over charge of those weapons. Well, what happened? The people of Syria, the Hezbollah, it wasn't called that then, and others were attacking Israel. Now, I've always been taught when a nation is attacks somebody and they lose the battle, that whatever the people they attacked take over becomes theirs. But guess what Israel did? They turned around and given this stuff back, in most cases, to those that tried to destroy them. Well, I hope that you'll look through Isaiah and look at all of the countries that have been one by one condemned by the Lord God Himself. For example, just thumbing through the pages, and of course Isaiah comes after Ecclesiastes and some other of the old books. There was the experience of Ahaz, remember that, and then there's the experience of Assyria. And Assyria, we're told, would invade the land of Israel. And Assyria, under the leading of Sennacherib, did do that. Remember what happened? As I've explained before, Sennacherib was less than a day's journey, a half a day, less than, a, in fact, 2 hours marching time, I believe it was, outside of Jerusalem. The people in Jerusalem had really already given up. And for some strange reason, now you and I as born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ know what happened, but for some reason, his troops decided to camp overnight and do their dirty work the next morning. Do you remember what happened in those days? By the way, it still happens today. When a country overtakes another country, they go in and viciously rape the women. They rape the men. They do whatever they want to people. They slaughter them. Well, they found Russia in the World War II, had prisoners, Jewish people by the millions, and they were hauling many of them, the ones that they did not throw in the furnaces. They were hauling them down to a certain island, and there they had vast medical facilities in which they were dissecting these people, going through all kind of painful experience while they were still alive, to take them apart and see how this part worked and how that part worked and so on, in the interest of medical science. Isn't that a tragic situation? Oh, dear people, let me assure you that that's exactly what will happen if we stand by and permit people like Islamics to move in here. They're one of the most vicious people in the world. Take a look at what they've done. They fly airplanes loaded with innocent people into the World Trade buildings and take out about 3,000 innocent lives. Take a look at what they've done in other places. And it's just a shallow indicator of what would happen if one of their atomic weapons hits, one of their nuclear weapons hits this country and begins to disable it. At this point, I want to mention something that you really need to do. You can go to most any place and get the DVD or the video of the movie The Day After. The Day After. The name of it is The Day After. Pick that up. And that's the envisioning of the day after the atom bomb hits, or that is, several of them, are fired by some kind of transportation vehicles, rockets, or whatever. And then with the exchange, of course, we see them coming our way, and we respond by sending them the other way. And this goes on to show you step by step what will happen when the hospitals are overrun. You can't get an ambulance, and then people are starving to death. They're murdering the farmers who remain. They're murdering their cattle. The things in your refrigerator are being destroyed, because if it hasn't been stolen already, somebody hasn't come to your door with a gun and saying, give me all of your food stuff and all your medication. If that has not happened, then you can't get electricity, so everything you have that needs refrigeration will spoil. Okay, one thing after another, these things are going to happen, and they're on the horizon of happening right now. I, quite frankly, and contrary to some of you denominational folks out there, believe that the rapture of the church is going to take place before the ultimatum is pronounced. And the Father, as Dr. Dwight Pentecost said one time in one of our services, the Father is going to turn to the Son and say, okay, Son, time's up, go and get them. Oh, that's going to be a blessed day. By the way, we have heard for years now that probably the second coming of the Lord is going to be on a very significant Jewish holiday, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is coming up, I believe, on the 23rd of this month. And it is believed that this next action, if you just look back through the events of history, nearly every one of them have happened on Rosh Hashanah or thereabouts. Now, that's a Jewish holiday. That's a Jewish religious holiday. But for some reason, it has happened. Things have happened on that date. Now, I don't mean to try to frighten anybody into doing something, because if the Holy Spirit doesn't lay on your heart to come to Him, then you're not coming. But let me get on here before our time runs out. All of these condemnation, God's judgment on various nations, then you get over to chapter 40, and we find that God's people are comforted. Listen to this. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem, and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Oh, what a wonderful word. For she has received from the Lord, the Lord's hand, double for all her sins. You know, it's bad enough to receive just an equal amount for what your sins have amounted to, but to receive double, a serious business, folks. Well, going on. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, that's not the highway that our government wants to build from Mexico to Canada. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And when the mouth of the Lord speaks, you better have both ears tuned in to listen. And the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? And then the Lord gives answer, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. In other words, the Lord himself and his power is the one that determines what happens, and he directs the paths of men. The breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. Listen to this, verse 8, chapter 40. But the word of our God stands forever and ever and ever and ever. Turning then over to chapter 44, there's God's blessing on Israel. And as time goes by, we'll pick up more on that, because that's the thing that we need to be looking at, is the Lord's soon return. Right at this point, I am not really bearing down on evangelism, because it seems that's all of our Baptist brethren and some of the others are doing these days, is more and more and more evangelism. Listen, folks, we need to be teaching God's Word. That's what we do at Mission Fellowship Bible Church here in Weddington Woods, out on West Highway 16. If you'll come 5 1/2, if you're in this area, by the way, Northwest Arkansas, give us a call and we'll tell you how to get here. Or if you know the area, come 5 1/2 miles west on Highway 16, west of the I-540 bypass. On the right-hand side, as you come out, you'll see a great big rock that says Weddington Woods, and beside it is our church sign, Mission Fellowship Bible Church. It's a non-denominational teaching church, very, very similar. I was raised Southern Baptist, went to Southern Baptist schools, and doctrine-wise, they're very similar. But our teaching comes basically through Dallas Theological Seminary. And you'll find in our tape library, and by the way, that's something else, you'll find on our website, www.saveournation.net, you can click on something there that calls for audio tapes. Go there and our entire tape library will come up, and we'll be glad to send you any of about 4,000 messages there by people like Dwight Pentecost and John Wolford, Charles Ryrie, Howard Hendricks, some of the best teachers in the world. There's a few there by Dr. W. Criswell from Dallas, First Baptist Church in Dallas, where my wife was raised, and I went there also part of the time while I was in college. And Dr. Criswell married my wife and me some 56 and a half years ago. So, same wife, folks. Something was sent to me today now that simply points up God's soon coming for his people. I want to give this to you. It was sent to me by one of my former helpers out here, Dr. Gene Jeffries. And you can get in touch with Gene by going to his website. It's CAMGRAD, CAMGRAD 1, the numeral 1, at sbcglobal.net. Now, here's what Gene just sent to me over on my email. And by the way, if you want to send something email, it is simply JULY1229 at Cox. That's COX dot net. Okay, let me give it one more time. That is JULY1229 at Cox, COX dot net. And you'll see there how to send it. If you want to get on our bulletin board and say something, just go there and register. Go to our website, www.saveournation.net, and when that comes up, you'll click on Ultimate Bulletin Board, and then click on Open Topics, or Current Topics, or something like that. And that will bring up our bulletin board, and just to read what's going on there, all you have to do is to bring up the bulletin board. But to make your own entries, you must register, and it'll show you how. All right. Gene just sent this thing to me. And if this doesn't stir your emotion, nothing will, I guess. But talk about the way the Islamics are treating people and what they're doing to the us, you and me, of the United States of America. I rarely hear it have a day pass, but what someone complains about the taxes, about the many other things that are plaguing us and passing right through the fingers of our United States government. It seems anymore other than getting involved in helping to run this government, people are doing something else. They're trying to collect from it as much as they possibly can. You know, these congressmen, these senators, are in there for a certain period of time, and even if they get thrown out for their illicit behavior, my land, Ted Kennedy should have been thrown out a long time ago, because this rapist, this liar, this murderer is one of our leading senators today, and he's on the Democrat side. Now, I don't mean to be ethnic or partisan political, but I want to tell you there's a few people out there, Barney Franks, Gerald Studs, I think Studs is gone now, but open homosexuals, and all of the others that are doing things. Well, I got to get on to this. I'm going to get it to you. Well, this ought to upset everybody, how they vote in the United Nations. Listen to this. Below what I'm going to read are the actual voting records of various Arabic Islamic states, remember who we're talking about, which are recorded in both the U.S. State Department and United Nations records. Here they are. Kuwait, the nation we gave many, many lives to rescue from the ugly, bloody fingers of Saddam Hussein. Kuwait votes against the United States of America 67% of the time. Qatar, and I didn't say guitar, Qatar votes against the United States 67% of the time. Morocco votes against the United States 70% of the time. United Arab Emirates votes against the United States 70% of the time. Jordan, a place that's supposed to be our friend, votes against the United States 71% of the time. And Tunisia, notice these are all Arabic nations, votes against the United States 71% of the time. Is it any wonder we can't get missionaries there preaching the Word of God? Saudi Arabia, supposedly our friend, whom we give thousands of dollars annually, votes against the United States 73% of the time. Yemen against the United States 74% of the time. Algeria against the United States 74% of the time. Oman votes against the United States 74% of the time. Sudan votes against the United States 75% of the time. Pakistan, where we're having our folks give their lives to this day, votes against the United States 75% of the time. Libya votes against the United States 76% of the time. Egypt, supposed to be our friend, votes against the United States 79% of the time. Lebanon, a place where we have just gone to with the lives of our people, and so as they have attacked our friends in Israel, votes against the United States 80% of the time. India votes against the United States 81% of the time, and India is supposed to be our friend. Syria votes against the United States 84% of the time. and I'm just about down to the part that should make you grind your teeth and roll on the floor. Mauritania votes against the United States 87% of the time. But listen to this. U.S. foreign aid to these that hate us is as follows. Listen to this, if you can stand it. Egypt, for example, after voting 79% of the time against the United States, still receives $2 billion annually in your pocket money and in foreign aid from us. Jordan votes 71% of the time against the United States and receives $192,814,000 annually in U.S. foreign aid. Pakistan, as I said, we're there trying to save that country right now, votes 75% of the time against the United States, receives $6,721,000 annually of your pocket money. India, a country that we have given blood for, votes 81% of the time against the United States, receives $143,699,000 annually from you and from me. Well, perhaps it's time to get out of the United Nations, Gene says, and I don't think Gene has to say it. You ought to know that. And to give the tax savings back to the American people who labor so diligently to try to make a living for their family. Back to the American workers who are having to skimp and to sacrifice to pay their taxes and to buy gasoline. Folks, you need to pass this along to everyone you know. If you'll get in touch with me, I still have it on my email list. Give me an email address or several of them, and I will get them to you. Please get in touch with me. We have so much good material I'd love to send to you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who produced it. I could not have done this by myself, but our Lord took care of that. Well, would you please stay in touch with us? We need to hear from you. The Lord is the one who does all of this. And if you are in range where you can receive KMTL, well, until they get automated down there, we'll be live every evening at 5 o'clock on that station. And please get in touch with us. Area code 479-443-2135. While we're on the air, too late now for today, but you can get in touch with us and get on the air by dialing 479-521-0022. Once again, 479-521-0022. And that'll put you on the air but call early in the program and we'll be glad to air your comments. Folks, the time is about up, not only for us to leave the air today, but for the Lord to come back for his people. I hope you understand how serious this is. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you please today turn to him and ask him to come into your heart and save you, because you need Jesus. He's coming, folks, and he's coming soon. He's coming for his children and no one else. Did you know that? I hope you do. Because if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you won't be going anywhere. And it's time now for us to leave the air. Would you please get in touch? And here's the closing song, Jesus, My Redeemer.
My joy and song, my Savior and my solace, when griefs around me throng. Oh, Jesus, my Redeemer, my song shall be of thee. No other friend so constant, no friend so dear to me.